Praise the Lord. Well, let me take a couple of minutes just to introduce myself. First of all, my beautiful wife is here, the blonde bomb. We have two sons, Nikki and Miguel. Nikki is 22, getting married in December. And my youngest son is turning 20. And we've been married for nearly 24 years by the grace of God. Amen. We've made it. Amen. And so nearly 24 years married to one wife. And praise the Lord. Well, we are from, and this is my team. This is Livingston and Nadine, his wife. They are our worship leaders back home. And so glad they are here with us. Greetings from Apostle Maldonado to each one of you here this morning. He sends his love and his greetings and his blessings, my spiritual father. And the first time I was in your church was when he ministered here. I flew down from Johannesburg to come here and serve in this church. I sat right in the back there. I was the usher that day, made sure that all the overflows was fine. The security guard put on the jackets for the apostle. Never that I knew that I'm going to stand on this platform one day. And it's because of him, a spiritual father in your life that gives you identity. He gives you, your spiritual father gives you identity. He gives you anointing. He does things for you that you will never in your life comprehend. And you must honor your spiritual parents in the Lord, just like we honor our spiritual authority in our lives. Nothing greater than to serve in the kingdom of God. I got on that plane, flew all the way, right through the night, to be here the morning, catch a few people, got on a plane back home, just to serve one service for my spiritual father. Wherever your dad is going, your apostle, your pastor, whatever you call him, serve him, be with him, pray with them. They are the angels of this house. Your destiny, your future, your promotion, your marriage, everything you need in life is locked up in those two people. And if you don't draw from them, you'll never have those things. How will you hear the word of God unless you have somebody that comes and preach that to you? Amen. So that's my family. It's my wife and my two boys. We have a great church in Johannesburg, South Africa. We started that church in 2004. It's called New Beginnings Christian Family Church. And a great church, wonderful church. We started off very small in a 50-seater Baptist church. That's where we started. And since then, God has blessed us. We have now a mega church, 1,500-seater auditorium, 3 services on a Sunday, nearly 60 churches that's connected to us, television programs, all those things just because of one thing, having an encounter with God. Changed my life, changed my income, changed my marriage, changed the ministry. When you have an encounter with God, everything changed. And so I believe you're going to have your encounter today with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I have a word for you that I want to share with you in this session. And I want you to go with me to the book of Haggai chapter 2. And we'll read verse number 6 up to verse number 9. Very well-known portion of scripture. Haggai chapter 2, verse number 6 to verse number 9. Just read a couple of verses there. We also want to welcome all the South Africans watching on Facebook Live. I see the comments coming through on the phone. Can London please welcome the South Africans? Yeah. South Africa, you are known for the glory of God and the anointing. But I'm telling you, these people here are very, very hungry for God. Haggai chapter 2, verse number 6 to verse number 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth. For the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts, and the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord. I believe, Pastor Paul, when I prayed with about the service this morning, this is the only thing I received from God. He says, big opportunities are coming. In the next season of your life, you'll see big opportunities, a big demand placed upon you that you've never experienced before. From 2020 to 2030 will be the decade of destiny for you and for your family. And you'll see a massive move in the next 10 years of your life, of your ministry, of your children. And it will be a decade of destiny. Profound destinies will be formed from 2020 up till 2030, the decade of destiny. And I declare this over this church as well today, that big opportunities are coming and the fulfillment of the harvest is coming. Every seed you have sown from 2010 up till 2020, all that seed will come into manifestation in the next decade. I prophesy that into the next decade. I release it into the next decade. I seal it into the next decade. Massive opportunities, big opportunities, mega opportunities are coming for the both of you in for this ministry. And I will not be surprised, and I know a lot of people have said that probably, I don't know, but God's going to expand something so big in your life. Bigger buildings are coming. This will just be the training center, just like you said. But you're not even going to have to borrow against this building. God's going to provide finances supernaturally for this church. I'm going to believe with you. I'm going to put my faith out. How many of you can put your faith out a little bit? Amen. So big opportunities are coming to this ministry. That's what I heard this morning when I prayed for this church. And that's for each one of you. How much is that building project? If you have to dream big now, is that the building? How much? £8 million. That means, listen, for £8 million to come in, there must be £80 million sitting here. For £8 million to come, 10% to come in. How many of you can believe God for some millions in your life? That means you need to now start walking in the supernatural wealth dimension of wealth, because £80 million must be released through you. That guy sitting next to you might be the next one. Amen. Listen, let me just release this a little bit. If God can do it for Joseph, that slept in a prison cell one night with prison clothes on a small thin mattress, eating prison food, and the next night sleep in the king's palace in the king's bed with royal robes, then God can change you in 24 hours. I declare 24-hour miracles in this house. Supernatural miracles. Come on. £80 million. We call it into this ministry. Shout, it's mine. Can you do this? I appropriate. Go. Shh. Come on. I appropriate it. I take it. It takes one idea. It takes one email. It takes one phone call. Listen, if you can believe for £8,000. And you can then just add another zero. That's £80,000. And just if you have believing God for £80,000, add another zero. That's 800. And just add another zero. How many of you have enough faith to believe for a zero? I'm sure you can believe for a zero, right? Come on, add a zero to your bank balance a little bit and to your... I release some wealth in this house. I'm telling you, it's about to break here over your life today. Shout, it's mine. So let me speak to you about this thing. The supernatural is the only way we're going to meet the needs of the church. The supernatural is the only way we're going to meet the needs of the people. And the supernatural is above and beyond. We know that. It's above time, above matter, above space. Time, the supernatural works like this. The time is not in the equation of the supernatural. So the banks will tell you, you have 20 years to pay off your house, 5 years to pay off your car, 9 months to pay off your credit card. That's time. When the supernatural comes, it takes all that out of the equation And God can work in somebody's heart right now across the world, on the other side of the world, to pay off your account, to pay off your home, to pay off your car. That's the God. God doesn't work banking hours. He is the God. He is El Shaddai, man. The God that is more than enough. I'm just stirring your faith a little bit here today to believe for the impossible. If God can do it for me, I'll share my testimony just now with you, then God can do and will do it for you today. Now, the supernatural gives credibility to the church. If we lose the supernatural, we lose our identity as the church. You know, I've been preaching in a lot of nations and churches, and some places they come and they tell me, the supernatural is not for everyone. It's not for us as a church. Here is a problem. The birth of Jesus was supernatural. Creation, let's start in Genesis 1. The creation is supernatural. His coming is supernatural. Walking on water is supernatural. Feeding thousands of people are supernatural. If we have to remove the supernatural from the Bible, we have nothing. And then we've just become a religious club. And with all due respect to everyone watching online, let me just say this. There was no Muslim, no Buddhist this morning that went to a mosque expecting a blind eye to see, a cripple to walk, a deaf ear to open, financial breakthroughs. But the church of God, we are believing. Come on, how many of you believe God for the supernatural power of God, for the move of the Holy Ghost? That makes us different. We are different. We are different in everything we do. And Haggai says, in Haggai chapter 2, he says, there will come a shaking. And there is a shaking taking place. There's a shaking place in all the nations. Our nation is being shaken to the core. Everything is being shaken in our nation. Christianity is being shaken. They want to control religion at the moment. Control our messages. Control our churches. And so our Christian faith is being shaken. Our government is being shaken. And I thought it's only in South Africa. Then I went to America and I see America's being shaken. Governments are shaken. Cities are shaken. People are shaken. Came to United Kingdom, nations are shaken. Governments are shaken. Political parties are shaken. Everything is being shaken in this end time. But that which remains is of God. And after every shaking, let me just ask you, let me just see if I can get some people here. How many of you can say in the past 12 months that your marriage, your finances, your relationships, your faith, everything has been shaken? Let me just see those hands. Amen. There in the back, let me just see. All right. We've been shaken. Our church has been shaken by a bunch of Absaloms. Last year, we went through a church split. Praise God. Only 10 people left. They thought they're going to leave with half of the church. But God is faithful. But it was a shaking. Our marriage was shaken. My kids were shaken. Our finances were shaken. But that which remains is of God. Three things happen after a shaking. All of you have raised your hands. There are three things about to take place in your life. Number one, you will see His glory. The house shall be shaken and then you will see the glory. The glory is totally different than the anointing. And for those, I'm sure you all know that. But the glory of God is where He moves. I don't move anymore. I can preach. And like Pastor Paul, he preaches in Africa and all these things. Let me just tell you, we can preach hours because we don't operate in the anointing. We operate in the glory of God. And the glory of God touches people, heal people. We can't lay our hands upon thousands of people. We were just in Ethiopia with Apostle Maldonado now in February. 1 million people in a service. How do you pray for at least 100,000 sick people? You can't. The glory must come. The glory touched the guy in the back. The glory of God touches everybody. It's the glory. It's when I'm no longer visible. I'm so glad people can't pronounce my last name. It used to bother me so much. Maybe I should change it. You know, just make it easy. But then this revelation came. The less they know of you, the more they'll know of Him. All you must know, remember today, is that God was in the house. Not a man, but God. And so the glory of God is going to come to your lives. The glory of God is going to come into the business world. You're going to see the glory of God manifesting. So the first thing you're going to see is the glory of God. The second thing is that there will be a new economy coming. And I want to just hover in a little bit here, that a new economy is coming to your life. New status is coming. New dimensions are coming. New income is coming to your life. The glory of God is going to show up in the business world. 20 years ago, my wife and myself were homeless people. My son, eldest son, was just born and we lost everything. I know what it is to come home and they have a lock around your gate that you can't get in and repossess everything. Lost everything. We were in business, lost everything. Nothing. From successful people to a repossessed home, repossessed furniture, and we lost our car. We were walking. I don't know what you call it in London, but hitchhiking. Okay, so hitchhiking. I was hitchhiking, begging for food so that we can just have something. We wouldn't eat for 3 days. You know, now I can say it was fasting, but back then that wasn't fasting. That was a forced fast. We found some pennies, and just to put in a telephone booth and phone someone and say, can you please just bring bread for us? That's where I come from. Don't judge me here. This is my journey. From nothing, started rebuilding, started believing God, started working the things of the Spirit, confessions of faith, believing the Word of God. I was never a tither. I had to learn how to tithe. I had to learn how to work with finances. I had to learn how to discipline my finances until the point where we started making money and started living a successful life. Today, we are the owners of multiple properties and multiple businesses. I don't preach for money. I did not come here for money. I came here on my own. Why? Because I'm not involved in that thing anymore. God has blessed me to move into the spiritual world and bring wealth to the people of the living God. I'm standing here today to tell you that in the next couple of minutes, something is about to shift financially over your life. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that with me here today? And so in 1999, I had an encounter with a demon. I'm preaching the church, and the next moment, this massive demon in Namibia, one of our neighboring nations in Africa, this massive demon stood in front of me, filthy rags, hate in his eyes, the smell I will never forget in my life. And I jumped out of my bed. I said, God, what is this? He says, it's the spirit of poverty that I've given you the mandate to break over my people. I'm not speaking about money. I'm speaking about a curse of poverty that attaches itself to born-again believers. As long as you sing and fall and shabba shabba, the devil is not mad at you. But the moment you're going to get money in your pocket and shabba shabba and fall, then we have a problem with the devil. The devil must fear me when I apply the blood, and he must fear me when I take my wallet out. How many of you, come on, how many of you want to increase a little bit? Take your wallet out, he must wonder what's going to happen. Because once you operate in wealth, you shut down systems. The religion who owns the most money, they control the city. And I'm telling you, we need to come to that place where we become successful people in the kingdom of the living God. Break the curse of poverty in our lives and say, God, I am blessed. I am supernaturally empowered to prosper. And therefore, from this day, that building fund will no longer be a problem, will no longer be a mountain, because God is going to raise up multi-millionaires in this house today to move in the supernatural power of God. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Let me just share something with you on poverty. Let me just give you this revelation on poverty. Now, poverty looks nothing like God. When I had nothing and begged, that didn't glorify God at all. Amen. The first thing you must know about poverty, it doesn't glorify God. The second thing about poverty is this. Or let me just clear this in, or color this in for you. Just understand this. There is a curse of poverty. That doesn't mean you are cursed. You are born again, you're going to heaven. But there's a curse on the financial side of your life. Understand? Yes. So I'm going to show you a couple of things, and then you can identify if there's a curse on the finances of your life. Not on you as a person. We're going to heaven. Three things came into this world when Adam fell: sin, sickness, and poverty. But Jesus removed it, Galatians chapter 3. He took the curse. So he took sin. He took what? Sickness. And then he took? So why do we defend poverty? Some people defend it like with their lives. Just don't speak about that. Just don't do it. But poverty is a curse that's not supposed to be on the children of the living God. Shout, I'm free from the curse. Now let me give you a couple of characteristics. Number one, the curse makes all things hard. You are close to signing the deal for the home, and then it fell through. You just started a business and it got bankrupt. Just wanted to do this. Let me call it this word. Almost. Almost rich. Almost out of debt. Almost successful. Almost. Almost. It's a sign that there's a curse operating in your finances. The second thing about this is, the curse is the authorization to fail. The authorization to fail. So let me help you with this. When we say, I bless you, that means you are now supernaturally enabled to prosper. You are empowered to prosper. If the curse is there, you are supernaturally empowered to fail. Everything you do fails. Apply for the promotion? Falls. Applies for the car? Everything, you're like supernaturally empowered to fail. And it comes from generation to generation to generation. That's the curse. But Jesus took care of that. Amen. And we're going to take care of that now. Well, if you don't have revelation, you can't be free. What is poverty? Poverty is the result of the curse. Just hang in with me. I'm going to take you somewhere. But here it is. Poverty is a spirit. Poverty is a spirit. Let me ask you this, precious family. What do you do if you see a spirit of depression? Cast it out. Spirit of fear? Cast it out. Spirit of suicide? Spirit of poverty? Don't marry the thing and, oh, it's just, you know, my whole family is like this. It's no, you have to break that thing. You have to cast that thing out. I have seen demons manifesting like crazy in services where we do financial deliverance, because it's a spiritual thing. It's not paper. And that's why you must understand, this morning I'm not speaking to you. I'm coming against a spiritual force that is holding the minds of people and the hearts of people and causing you not to walk free in the things that God wants for you. And the church always to say, when are you going to give? When are you going to give? Those days are going to come to an end. We're just going to come and we're going to say how much, and we're going to write out, and we're going to do the things of the kingdom of God. How many of you believe that? Come on, shout amen. So you can smell poverty a mile away. You can go to any poor area now and smell poverty. So it is. And I want to go that far to say that poverty is on the borderline of sin, man. Smells, demonic influences. You must say, God, I repent for allowing my mind to think this is how it should be, how I should live. This is all I am. No, God wants to change you. Amen. Do you believe it with me here? Poverty is a tradition. Number four, I'm running through this. Poverty is a tradition. Poverty is a mindset. Poverty always looks for free stuff. You must pay £5 for that booklet. Why can't they give it to us free? You must register for the youth camp. Why can't they give it free of charge? Spirit of poverty, things like that. You know, we're doing the movement of the supernatural in Africa, and I'm telling you, we have to rent arenas. All right? And so we have now in I think 20 days or so, we have another arena coming up that we're going to fill. And we charge tickets. It's a ticketed event. The world is fine. Christians? Why must we pay for our miracle? Why must we pay for this stuff? It's poverty here. The gospel is free, but it costs Jesus everything to hang on that cross. Amen? Now let me release something before I take you to point number three. Listen. What happens after the shaking? The glory comes. Secondly, poverty is going to be broken. A new economy is coming to your life. All right? And it's going to start in the marketplace. The Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room. The upper room, if you don't know, was a place where they made the business decisions of the city. It's not by accident the Holy Ghost was poured out in the upper room. It's going to come again where you're going to walk into a boardroom and you still want to do your presentation and you're going to go, Shikarama etelebegetaya. And the glory of God is going to come again. Come on, in the marketplace, in the world. Hallelujah. 39 out of the 40 miracles in the New Testament took place outside of the church. The only miracle that took place in the church was at the doorpost where there was a lame man and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you, stand up and walk. That's the only miracle closest to the church. The rest of the 39, 40 miracles happened in the marketplace. I'm going to activate you this morning that when you're going to start walking in the marketplace, in the school, in the university, in the workplace, God is going to start doing miracles in you, through you, and we're going to see a move of the Holy Ghost, a supernatural breed coming up. Hallelujah. I believe for it. So let me give you one example of how it worked with me. I met this man, a billionaire, not in my currency, in dollars. Billionaire and owns a lot of mines and stuff like this. He went through a tough time. He invited me to his company. Got to his company. He said to me, Pastor Nicky, just sit down here. Can I order you something to drink? I said, no, I'm fine. He says, I want you to pray with me. He takes out 7 contracts, massive contracts. Of hundreds and hundreds of millions of rands, the one contract. Another one, buying oil, buying gold, and all this stuff. So it's worth about $3 billion at the end. He's been struggling from 6 months to 2 years. That was the time period. He says, put your hands upon these contracts. I believe if you put your hands upon it, something's going to happen. So I lay my hands upon it. And I sat there, I said, in his boardroom, I said, Holy Spirit, in the midst of the marketplace, I ask that you will now reveal yourself and give me a word for these people. So I said, do you have a Bible? He says, yes. He goes and takes out a Bible. I said, open it up to Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 28. The Holy Spirit gave that scripture to me. So he goes, Ezekiel 12, 28, and it says this, thus saith the Lord, no more delays. Just like I said, it's done. Let's go and have lunch. So we go and have lunch in a restaurant. We go to this restaurant in one of our upmarket malls. So when he walks in, the owner immediately opened up the private section for him. So we go to the private section. He says, in about 5 minutes, my whole board of directors are coming just to join us for lunch. So I'm fine. Yeah, they all come in, introduce them all. 8 of them sat around the table. I sat there and he explained to them. He says, now he doesn't want to use me as my position as a pastor. So he says, this is my friend. You know, he's a doctor in leadership and he's just come here to evaluate some stuff and very low-key. So we sat around there, and he's second in charge. His phone rang. Open it up. He said to this man, to my friend, he says, excuse me. Goes out, comes back. He says, you know that contract that we've been waiting for 6 months? They've just released the finances. So I'm like, God's going to show up here today. So the starters came, the appetizers came. His phone rang again. The second contract was done. He turns to my friend and he says, we should come to this restaurant more often. He says, what's happening? And my friend stood up. He says, I want to tell you, directors, this is a man of God. This is what he did. This is how he prayed. And God is going to take back our company, and he's going to become the CEO of this company. I mean, he starts preaching there. And I saw the glory of God coming into the marketplace. When we had our desserts, 3 out of the 6 contracts were signed. Money was paid in. And I didn't even do anything. It's just the presence of God. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you are a carrier of the glory of God, of the supernatural. Let me tell you this. Our church that we have back home, 70% of our people are entrepreneurs in our church. It's just the anointing of wealth coming upon the people. I will not be surprised in 12 months from now that you in this building are going to another dimension in your finances. Some of you will become business owners. Come on, some of you are going to move in the supernatural power of God. If you believe it, say amen to the word. Now, remember, after the shaking, the glory comes. A new economy comes. And number 3, I'm closing with this. The remnant is going to arise. The remnant is a group of people. They are documented in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. They are an extraordinary group of people. The word remnant means this. Chosen. That's what it means. Many are called, few are the remnant. I can preach to all of you here this morning, but there might be just a remnant that's going to say, I take this word. I don't care about my neighbor. I don't care if nobody agrees. It's mine. The remnant. They are the chosen people. They are the survivors. I'm just giving you the definition of the word remnant. They are the survivors. I've asked you in the beginning, how many of you have been shaken? Raise your hands. You survived. So you are the remnant. Made it. The third thing, and this is what I love most about the word remnant, it means this. In the Hebrew, it means sharaf, which means a supernatural breed. A breed of people. They're different. They do things different. So let me give you the characteristics of the remnant. Number one, they do things no one else does. And no one else have ever done in their family. No one. What is the remnant? I'm a supernatural breed. I'm chosen. I'm different. I'm not like the others. When I stood there and I heard how you praise and worship and I saw this church, for me, and that's why I'm preaching this message, not the same as the first service, because I felt the confirmation. God says, this is the remnant that I've raised in Great Britain. Let me tell you, church, you are part of a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you today, you are the remnant. You survive. You survived a lot of things. Some of you shouldn't have been here. Some of you should have been dead. Huh? Cancer should have taken you out. That car accident should have taken you out. Come on. But we're here. We survived. Noah did something no one else did in his family. He built an ark. Enoch did something no one else did. He walked with God until he walked no more. He was taken up. And then Jesus did things no one else did. When he healed the woman of the issue of blood, he broke 14 Jewish laws just by touching that woman. He walked on water, multiplied. And he said, multiplied fish and loaves. And he says, greater works will you do, chosen ones, than what I have done. I believe we are reaching that point now in the history of the world where you're going to see the remnant. There is the remnant church. Matthew chapter 25. The 10 virgins, 5 had oil, 5 had no oil. They all looked the same. Let me tell you, I preach, like I said, a lot of churches. They all look the same. We all sing the same songs. We all do the same program. But there is the church that has this. We all may look the same, but it's what's inside. It's the oil we carry. It's the presence we carry. It's the anointing we carry. Come on, I don't know about you, but I feel the oil of God is going to increase more and more and more in our lives. And so the remnant is a very significant group of people, a supernatural breed. Secondly, they are marked by their worship. Supernatural breed is marked by their worship. Number three, I'm running because through this I want to pray for you. The remnant is chosen by God to do mega exploits. Daniel chapter 11, 32. Those who know their God shall do great mega exploits. You're going to do greater things, mega things, than what Jesus have done. If your church is bigger than 12, which you are, you're already doing bigger than God, than Jesus. Because he only had 12 people. That was his church. You're already doing greater, massive, wonderful things. Little faith is not going to work in this end time move of God. We need mega faith. Little faith, mustard seed faith, is to get saved. But you are saved. Now you're going to need to have mega faith to put up that thing, to take the city for the Lord, to sign millions of pounds. You're going to need to have mega faith. Mega faith. Big things. Believe God for the impossible. Just ask for the biggest thing you can. And you'll see how God will do it. Stop limiting God for you to pay your car. Lord, please, I need money to pay my car. I need money to pay the school fees. Stop limiting God by your monthly expenses. Say, God, I want to be the remnant that carries the wealth in this end time move of God. This end time move of God will not be funded by tithes and offerings. It will be funded by businessmen and businesswomen that will come in and liberate ministries, give millions of pounds for the kingdom of God. That's how we're going to fund it. That's how we will fund the end time move of God. Through men and women of God that will carry the load and say, my only mandate is to fund the kingdom. I've met very few remnant businessmen. They're my church business people. I deal with them all the time. I have to have a newspaper in my left hand and a Bible in my right hand. I must know their lingo, know what's going on. But let me tell you, I've met a few remnant businessmen that says, my sole mandate is to fund the kingdom of the living God. Not to fund, to invest into the kingdom of God. And God is going to raise investors here today. And maybe you feel it's not for me. Let me tell you this, this word has gone out. If you don't take it, it's going to bump over to your grandchildren. It's going to hit into your children's children. But in your lineage, God is going to raise up a remnant that will carry the supernatural power of God. I'm going to pray in 5 minutes from now, but let me close with this. In my family, God touched me, and I said, I will become the remnant in my family. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to get out of this system. I couldn't even pass my school years. I just played my whole school year through, man. For me, I didn't study. If I can get 35% average and just make it, I was happy with that. I know you're not like that, but I was just like that. I enjoyed my school years and studied to the minimal. If I can do it all over again, I'll do it better. Amen? But at that time, that was just my life. But you know what? There was a year that I said, I wish I could turn that thing around. Because I messed up, man. I didn't study enough. And I started studying. Started going to college. Started doing things. Started equipping myself. And I came out of the mold of my generation. Not one family member in our generation ever received a high educational degree. Today, here I'm standing, I'm just saying this humbly. I've got two doctor's degrees. One I've studied for, one that was given to us. All right? So you must understand, we study for these things. We believe God for these things. Now I can use my doctor's title in the secular world. I don't go in as apostle. They've got no clues, apostle. What's apostle? They understand doctors and professors, and God helped me. So in my lineage, I broke the cycle of education. So I'm going to get out of that thing. I'm going to break free out of that. I'm the first one in my lineage that bought my home, and all our homes are paid cash. We have 5 properties, all paid cash. Listen, let me tell you this. We have cars paid cash. Everything. Why is this? Let me close with this. Listen. I have sold cars. Therefore, I will never, nor my children, lack cars. I have sown homes into the kingdom of God. Therefore, me and my wife and my children will never suffer or lack homes. I've sowed so much money, I will never, never lack money. Not in my lifetime, not in my children's lifetime, because I've sowed so much money. I've sown so much plane tickets. I can't even remember how many plane tickets I've sown for people. Why? Listen, I will never lack coming to any nation in the world because I've got seed in that ground of plane tickets. You know why we have a building, a church building? Because I sowed a tent that was a building, church building. I sowed that. We help people. We equip people. Let me tell you, the power of a seed is what brought us from nothing to something to become the remnant in my family. The seed broke through everything that held us back. Today, if we have to evacuate this building and leave it for 12 months, 12 months later, when you come here, there will be seed, weed coming through this concrete slabs. That's the power of a seed. It breaks through concrete, man. There was no way I could ever be this successful. But a seed in the ground made me to say, I'm coming out of this thing. I refuse to be like this. I am not going to die like my father. They told my dad, this is what they told him. They told him, you will die a poor man and your children. I listened to the cassette of that in 1980. And I said to my wife, I said, I refuse to die a poor man. My dad died a poor man. I will break that thing in my life. And I'm here to tell you, we're going to break that spirit of poverty in your life and in your lineage. That child you are holding shall never lack. Your children shall never lack in the children's ministry. It's time that we raise up a generation studying there. Raise them up in the power of God. I believe we're coming to a place where you'll see the church of Jesus Christ writing manuals for children. That's what we believe in our church. I equip my children in the children's ministry to start planning like businessmen. They must be educated in finances, educated in the marketplace, educated young people there. Not just tell them about David and Goliath, but train them how to do a business. Train them the things of the living God. Come on, there's a remnant church. There's a remnant young people. There's a remnant business people that's going to stand up in the power of God and proclaim that Jesus is coming. And I want to say the latter shall be greater than the former. If you believe it, stand to your feet and just give Jesus one good shout of praise here today. Come on. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Now this is what I want to do. I want to pray for everyone in this building, everyone watching online. You know, debt is a sign of slavery. Lack is a sign of bad stewardship. So you need to get those things right. You need to get your tithing right. You need to get your offerings right. You need to get all those things right. Become a good steward of your finances. Come out of slavery. Don't make debt again. I know the system of the world. You must have debt for credit score. And, you know. But there's another realm. There's another realm to be free. We're not dictated by the system. Where you start dictating the system. And so I want to release upon you today. How many of you want this? How many want to be activated as a remnant in the world? So God is going to release it upon you. Lift your hands. Can we just pray in the Holy Ghost? Because we're dealing with a spirit. We need an encounter with your glory, God. Spirit of God, touch us. Come on, you must understand, it's a spiritual activation. I declare that the remnant shall arise today. The remnant shall take grounds. They shall move in the supernatural power of God. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for your presence and your love in this house. Close your eyes, say this with me. Say, Father God,
I stand before you.
If there is anything,
crooked,
perverse, iniquity, in me,
I ask
by the blood of Jesus,
to cleanse me.
Today, I ask for forgiveness.
I stand
in right standing with you.
There is nothing
that the accuser
can accuse me of.
I'm covered in the blood.
Covered in the grace.
I come in that grace.
I ask you to activate me.
To mobilize me.
To commission me.
To be a remnant.
To do signs, wonders, miracles.
In the emotions of people.
In the physical body of people,
and also in the financial arena.
I believe
I'm now activated
to move in the
supernatural.
In the name of Jesus,
I bind.
I take authority
over every spirit
of poverty.
I bind you
in my life,
in my children's life.
In Jesus' name.
Come out of my life.
Come out of my finances.
In Jesus' name.
Now pray in the Holy Ghost.
Let your glory fall, Spirit of God.
Let your glory fall, Spirit of God.
That's beautiful.
Come on, have an encounter with God.
And release the glory.
I release the will.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In Come through generations, comes in that came in the hearts and minds of the people. I rebuke your works and I rebuke your manifestations. It ceases and stops right now. I declare that even in the next couple of days, promotion shall come, increase shall come, contracts shall come, entrepreneurs shall be raised in the name of Jesus. Now I pray, O God, for Harvest Church, that there will be an explosion of wealth, explosion of faith, of the miraculous, in the name of Jesus. I declare this church blessed, supernaturally empowered to be blessed. I release the blessing of God upon Pastor Sobra and his wife. Father, you spoke to me this morning in prayer and you said big opportunities are coming and the next decade will be the decade of destiny for them. And I release it right now. Paul, Joe, in Jesus' name.